Hi, this is Emily Brown with the CareerPioneer.com, and I am joined this morning with Tony Bashara. He is an amazing recruiter. He's actually been voted number one in America by a leading industry journal. And he's also the author of the new book, Unbeatable Resumes. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for joining me, and I'm so excited to talk about this very important topic.
A pleasure to be with you, Emily.
So let's get started, because I've read through some of your book, and I'm really excited to read some of the statistics and a little bit discouraged at the same time. In your book, you bring out some really startling statistics about job openings and resumes. For instance, you say that the average job opening receives more than 200 resumes per posting, and 60% of those resumes aren't even read by the person on the other end. I mean, that can be a little discouraging for someone who's looking for a job.
Yeah, but rather than live in delusion, you got to have reality and see what's there so that you know what to do to deal with it. It isn't so much that people are delusional about what's going on out there. It's what they do with it when they get the facts.
So you cover a lot in your book, but let's go through some of the things that you talk about. For example, some of the biggest mistakes that people make on their resume. What are just a couple of those?
Well, first of all, the biggest mistake is that people overrate the resume. They think it's going to get them a job. Resumes don't get anybody a job. Well, back in the late 90s, it might have, but it isn't going to be that way for the foreseeable future, so we overestimate the ability of a resume to help us. The purpose of a resume is to get you an interview, not to necessarily get you the job. Second biggest mistake is that we have a tendency to think that our resumes are read by the people that are actually doing the hiring. That doesn't happen most of the time. Most of the time, if your resume is scanned, and I emphasize scanned, it is scanned by somebody that may or may not, most likely not have an intimate knowledge of what goes on in the job itself. So there's a big gap between sending your resume and being able to get an interview with the idea that you might be qualified.
Right. So most resumes, we submit them online, right, through some type of online portal, and you're saying that it gets scanned on the other end. So then is there like a right way or at least a better way to write a resume for online purposes?
Yeah, people have to realize that we spend 39%, psychologists prove that we spend 39% less time reading something online than we do when we hold it in our hands. We actually don't read, we scan, and we skip and scan. Most of the time, we go to the very middle of the page, scan that, then psychologists tell us that we go to the left and go up the column on the left-hand side of the page and then scan again. We don't scan across like when you read something in your hand, we scan down. We are looking for positive words, we're looking for reinforcement, we're looking for things that would interest us, which means that when you're looking at a resume, or most people are looking at a resume, they're looking for companies they recognize, a clear description of what the candidate did, and how successful the candidate was in the job. That's about it. After that, they make a quick decision of, are they going to print it out? And when they print it out, they're going to read it a little more carefully, spend 39% more time reading it to see if it has something in it that they're interested in.
And you talk about the scanning and how they'll look for companies that they recognize. But
yes,
you also talk about in your book how a lot of professionals make the mistake that people on the other end assume that they know what the company is. If it's not well-recognized, right?
There's 7.5 million businesses in the United States. Ain't no way everybody going to know what is your company and what it does. And I get resumes from candidates all the time that write down, I get about 100 a day, and they write XYZ company as though everybody in the whole world knows what XYZ company does. Well, they don't, and you need to explain it very clearly. And if you work for a very big company, an IBM or a Google or a EDS or a very large firm, you need to make it very clear what division you worked for and what that division did or does.
And you also talk about making sure that you highlight what your accomplishments were while you were in that position, right?
Absolutely. And
so what do you – go ahead.
Well, don't come up with fluff stuff like great communicator, team builder, get along well with others.
That's just fluff, right?
No kidding. Yeah, your bartender does that, you know, great communicator, gets along well with others, serves them drinks, dumb. You've got to be able to, the more specific you are with numbers about your successes and what you've done, clearly, how you perform, that's what a hiring authority is most interested in. They want to know, what's Emily done for others that Emily is going to do for me?
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Right now, today.
Right. So another finding in your research and in your work, you found that a lot of hiring managers, they don't necessarily look at the career summary or objective section. They don't put much weight.
They don't even like them. We did a survey of 6,000 hiring authorities, 3,162 of them wrote back our survey. And one of the things they dislike most is career summaries and objectives. Now these are sold to people that want to have a resume written, and I want to say this in a kind way because I'm sure there's some good ones out there, by resume writers. Resume writers never found anybody a job, they write a resume. So if you call up and you say, hi, I'm Emily Brown and I need a resume, I might sell you, if I'm a resume writer, what Emily Ann Brown might really like. But that doesn't mean that the hiring authorities really like it. And objectives and summaries don't mean anything. First of all, a hiring authority doesn't care about your objectives. They care about their objectives. And their objective is to hire somebody to fill a position to work. They could care less about your objectives, so they skip that stuff. I got one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had a page and a half of summary. Good God. Just looking at his summary, I figured, well, he must be at least 110 years old. And so, come on. You know, get rid of the summary. They don't care about your summary. I got a resume from a fellow some years back, and he had in his summary, number one salesperson in the United States. Wow. And it had no context of who he had. It turned out he had been the number one salesman in the United States for a company he had worked for 10 years earlier. Well, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. Cut it out. So get that garbage off of there and come up with, here's what I've done, here's who I've done it for, here's how successful I've been, therefore I'm going to be successful for you.
Okay, so we need to do away with the career summary and the objective section altogether.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're suggesting, though, that we use that area of our resume to highlight our most biggest accomplishments.
Our most important. Now, if you maybe a couple of lines of accomplishments, you insist, and some people say, I got to have that. Okay, fine, whatever. But don't spend a lot of time doing it, because realizing that your accomplishments, if they're taken out of context, which most of the time when people list their accomplishments, they're taken out of context. And a hiring manager wants to know, well, what context is your accomplishments center around? So if your accomplishments are specific to a particular job that relates to what I do, now that I'm interested in.
Okay. That leads me to the next question, because a lot of people wonder, should I have a functional resume? There's so many different types of resumes that people kind of get lost in the shuffle. So what do you suggest when it comes to creating different resumes?
Anybody kid you, functional resumes don't fly.
Okay.
Reverse chronological resume. Now, I guess there might be instances where a functional, I don't want to go over what might work. If you're coming back into the workforce, having been out of it for a number of years because of raising a family or things like that. But still, 94% of the employers that we surveyed don't like functional resumes because it doesn't say anything. It's functional. I function this and I function that. It does not have anything that relates to specific companies, specific jobs, and specific performances. And you got to realize that this resume isn't going to get read like you think it is. It's going to be scanned and it's going to be compared with the 110 others that I just got. And so if I can't look at it quickly, specifically, and see XYZ company, what they do, what you did there, how successful you were at it, it's probably not going to get read or scanned. I'm going to move on to the next one.
I see. Okay. So nowadays, you know, a lot of professionals are running to the internet. They're starting their own blogs related to their industry or their own personal website. Is this really going to help them get a, you know, land that interview?
Yeah, people spend a lot of time, and I read a book last week on branding yourself. Well, okay, I guess. If you've got nothing else to do, most of us have a job and we're trying to juggle that and family and everything else. It's nice stuff to write about, and you know, this Twitter account and your blog and all of that. I do recommend that if you're going to do something like that, don't do it just for the sake of having it. It better say something. It better have some kind of meaning, and it better be very, very interesting. Because the last person, last thing a hiring authority wants to do is go to a blog or go to a website, and it's pretty clear that the blog or the website was just there for the sake of the blog or the website. Kind of dumb.
Okay. Well, what about if it's like an online profile where they have links to their, you know, previous work or something like that?
Yeah, LinkedIn is very good for that. Okay. It is a very successful social/business network and of real value now. Now, you know, how long that's going to last, these things come and go. And so, you know, you never know. Do what you think best, but realize that getting an interview is the most important thing you can do. Performing well on an interview is the second most important thing you can do. And don't get wrapped up around secondary things that have to do with anything other than getting an interview and performing well on it.
Okay. And you mentioned LinkedIn. What are your views on sort of the value of social networking nowadays? I know it seems like it's almost a little like a fad, you know, people looking to LinkedIn to look for job opportunities and Facebook, for example. But what is your view on that?
Well, we did a survey of, 4,000 candidates. We only found one that said that they had gotten an interview from Twitter or Facebook. Those kind of social networks, now, things may change. As the 24, 25-year-olds that grew up with that in college, as they get more into the workforce and they mature, it might be more effective. My findings were that those kind of things weren't all that effective in finding people jobs. I do know a number of companies, and I mentioned this in my new book. We've rewritten a second edition of the Job Search Solution, the original book that we wrote. And there are a lot of companies that have efforts in recruiting with Facebook and Twitter and all of the pure social media. I did not find it in the research that I did recently to be all that effective. LinkedIn is another story. LinkedIn doesn't necessarily get people interviews or get people jobs, but it certainly does help them research companies, the people in them, people that they might know or things like that. It proves to be very effective, not so much in getting people interviews, but in informing them about an interview, about a company, and the people that are in them. So we find it to be real effective. You never really know how these things are going to wash out over a period of time, though. If people abuse LinkedIn, or it gets to where it's like many of the job boards, where there's just so many people on it that it becomes more of a burden than it does a help, then it might change. But right now, it's a value.
Okay. And what about cover letters? I mean, are they still useful in the job search? Do we need them?
86% of the employers that we surveyed said that they could care less about a cover letter.
Okay.
They want to, in fact, couple of them wrote, I only read the cover letter if the resume is interesting. So people, again, don't spend as much time doing that kind of thing, cover letters, spending time reading cover letters, as those people that write them would like to think.
Okay. So your book, is it already available online? Where can people purchase your book?
It is. It is online with all of the online programs, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all of that. It's in the bookstores, and it's doing rather well.
Okay, great. Well, I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the book. I'm sure people are, they need a resource like this. I mean, it's so difficult now to get a job, to keep a job for that matter. So I'm sure it's going to be a help to so many people. And you know what? Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me this morning. And I hope that we can connect again one day.
Pleasure to be with you anytime.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.